Welcome to Italy Inside Out. I'm your host, Andrea Aldrich. Today I'm joined by Sam Cipana from his home in Abruzzo, Italy. Sam is a semi-retired attorney from the Seattle area. He's also the current president of Il Punto, the Italian Culture Center, and he's a fellow member of the Dante Alighieri Society in Seattle. He has recently purchased a house in Colonnella, Abruzzo. And he has quite a tale to tell about his attempts to get back there this summer. So welcome, Sam. I'm happy to have you. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very well, thank you.
Would you tell us the tale of your struggle to get back to your home in Italy this summer?
Oh, mamma mia. Well, you know, my original plan was to come back here May 2nd, and I was going to be here until the 16th of May because we were having a kitchen remodel and a bathroom remodel. And then I was going to come back to the United States because my son was getting married in San Francisco. And then I was planning to return on May 28th. And actually, my home, I'm in the process of converting to a bed and breakfast. So I already had guests lined up. My May 2nd flight was canceled. I then held on to my May 28th flight. That was canceled. Then I booked another flight for the 23rd of June. That was canceled with no notice to me. And then I scheduled again for July 1st, and that was canceled, but fortunately I was able to rebook. So this is the fifth reservation that I've made to get here.
Wow.
Yeah. And the concern was how I was going to enter because I have my Italian citizenship, but I also have been living in America. And so the question is, are they going to let me in or what? And so, they let me in, but you want to know more about the flight, I take it.
I want to hear the whole story.
Oh, good. Well, you know, I was told to get to the airport 3 hours before my flight, and I'm glad that I did because at the airport, the line to talk to a reservationist was very long. And as soon as I said I was going to Italy, they put me in a special services line. And it just moved very, very, very slowly. And what I was witnessing at the reservation desk were people being told that they could not board the plane. A lot of them were Americans with American passports. It just was horrible to watch people, you know, at the last minute find out that they can't travel here. But when I approached, I showed my Italian passport. I explained that I was going home to my home in Italy. And they didn't ask me any more questions about that and just let me go through.
Oh, good.
So I had three flights. The first one was to New York, to JFK. And the flight to JFK was extremely empty. I was the only one in my row. There was no one in the row in front of me, and there was no one in the row behind me. So within 18 seats, I was the only person. I had to wear a mask the entire time, which is fine. And everything that was, when you walked in the plane, you had to sanitize your hands. Everything that was handed to you by the flight attendants was in plastic. They wore gloves the whole time. They wore masks the whole time. So I felt very safe on the plane. And then when I got to JFK, my next flight was to Amsterdam. And there I had to go through biometrics. They took a picture of me. They took my temperature. They asked me more questions about where I was going. I had to show my passport again. And they gave us on the flight a paper to fill out that said that we were aware that we had to go into quarantine when we arrived in Italy. It had all kinds of things on there about had you health questions, things of that nature. And so when I boarded the plane from Amsterdam to Rome, now things changed because now we were subject to the Italian rules. And the Italian government will not allow any airplane flying into Italy to use the overhead compartments for luggage. So all your luggage has to be either stowed under the seat or it has to go into the hold. The other thing about the Italian requirements is that they release the requirements about spacing within the airplane. Everyone still has to wear a mask, but the airplane was full. And boarding the plane, we entered a bus and the bus was full. And that's the only time I began to get a little apprehensive because there wasn't the distancing that I was accustomed to on all the other flights. But then once I got in Italy, I thought, well, now I'm going to be, somebody's going to take this form from me that I filled out and someone's going to question me. And I went in and I processed my passport and looked into the camera and the door opened and into Italy I was. And nobody stopped me. Nobody asked me any questions. But there were big signs that said, if you come from other than EU countries, basically, you're obligated to notify the police that you have arrived. And I knew that I had to go directly from my from the airport to my home. I knew that I couldn't stop anywhere along the way. I did stop for coffee because I was exhausted and started falling asleep as I was driving. But my cousin, who lives here in the same town, she had already informed the police that I was coming. So I arrived at my home and then I get a call from my cousin and she said, you have to call the health department. And she gave me the number. And so I called the health department and they asked me a bunch of health questions. And they told me that I'm supposed to take my temperature twice a day. If I have a fever, if I have any symptoms, I'm supposed to notify the health department. And I cannot leave my house at all.
What day is it now in your quarantine?
Today is, I think, day 9. So I have until midnight on the 15th that I can leave my house. And it's even to the point that putting your trash out, they gave you rules. Like you have to, I don't know that you know, but you know, the recycling here is very strict. So I'm completely relieved of all the recycling rules. But all of my trash has to go into the red bag for mixed trash. It has to be double bagged. I have to wear gloves while I put my trash in the bag and while I tie the bag. And then I have to discard the gloves in another trash bag. And that's the only time I can leave my house is to take the trash to the place where it gets picked up.
Is that once a week that you do that?
Yes, Sunday evenings, and they pick it up on Monday. I understand the concern, obviously, and I think that they kind of overdo it, but I'd rather have them be overly cautious than underly so, as it is in the United States.
Absolutely.
The airport, by the way, when you come into the airport at Rome Airport, which I believe you've flown into before, there's only one door out and there's only one door in. And no one is congregating in the airport at all. You go directly to your gate or you leave, but there's no one staying in the airport. The shops are open, the restaurants are open, but there's very limited space to actually eat within the airport. And there's armed guards everywhere. And once you go out, there's all the people waiting for people with the signs, you know. And to go in, there's only one door in. And so it's sort of surreal to see that.
But they've done such a good job as compared to the U.S., yeah.
They have.
How does it work when you're in quarantine? I understand they did your shopping for you and they supply your masks and...
Well, the masks were here when I got here. I believe they mailed masks to everybody or they delivered masks. I had masks waiting for me from the region. Of course, no one can come into my house and no one is even supposed to come to the door. So they don't want me to have any contact with anyone. Of course, my neighbors are not going to just ignore me. So There now, I was told that there is an association within the commune that is supposed to do my shopping for me. And I thought it would take some time for them to you know, contact me. Of course, I had very little food in the house. So the first day, I think I had rice and olive oil was the only food I had.
Now, no pasta.
I had pasta, but yeah, I could have made pasta, huh? So I did have pasta and olive oil. That would have worked. But no garlic, no, you know, nothing. So I contacted the commune, but no one has gotten back to me yet about that. I have gotten 3 phone calls from the health department, actually 4, all verifying, are you okay? You know, do you have any symptoms? You know, so they really are monitoring. And, you know, I could very easily violate the law just by leaving. But as you know, Italians are very observant, and I'm sure the people around me would not be so happy about that, would probably turn me in. And the fine is substantial. It's between €1,000 and €4,000. So, of course, I don't want to violate the law anyway. But my neighbors and my cousin, they have dropped off food for me, and that's how I've been living here.
Well, it sounds like you're pretty well taken care of, except that you are limited. You can't go outside. I'm sure the weather's warm there now, isn't it?
Yes. The first day was rather hot and humid, but I have air conditioning here. But I haven't had to use it after the first day. I get all my steps in. Of course, I've had to, you know, clean the house. And that was one of the funny things is after I, vacuumed the house and swept the floors and swept the terrace, and I have allergies to dust. And so the first night, you know, I wake up and I'm kind of coughing and I have this back pain. I'm thinking, oh, no.
Oh, dear.
But it was just the fact that I'm not used to vacuuming and sweeping. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I know you have dual citizenship, Italian and American. So can you tell me a little bit about your Italian heritage? Is it on both sides of your family or just one? Or what is the lineage there?
Yes, I'm 100% Italiano. So my 2 of my grandparents are from Abruzzo. One was born, you know, steps from where my house is. And one grandparent is from Calabria and the other grandparent is from Sicily. So I have the South covered.
Yeah, you sure do. Was it difficult to get your Italian citizenship? Or I know there's a lot of paperwork involved.
It's a lot of paperwork. I was really lucky because when I had to get documents from Italian governmental agencies, I happened to be here when they were open because they're only open, you know, limited hours. So it just took a while to get all the certifications and the, you know, official documents. That wasn't so difficult. What was really hard was getting an appointment at the embassy in San Francisco. I believe it took me like 10 months before I could get in there.
Yeah, I've heard that that's pretty difficult. Tell me a little bit about your town of Colonnella.
Oh, my town of Colonnella is just a beautiful little hilltop town. It is the highest hill in the area, and we're about 2 miles from the Adriatic Sea. So from my house, I can look out and see the sea. We're about an hour away from Gran Sasso, which is equivalent to Mount Rainier in Seattle area. And actually, I am right across the river from Le Marche. So Colonnella is the hill town. Martinsicoro is the sea town. Martinsicoro is the most northern town in Abruzzo and the most northern town in southern Italy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you cross the Tronto River and you're in Le Marche. And, you know, what's fascinating about that is, you know, when you go to the grocery store, when you're in Colonnella, the grocery store has all the Abruzzese products. But when you go to Le Marche, they're not there anymore.
Really?
It's all Marchese products.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So is the owner Le Marchese, then, do you think?
Le Marchese, I guess. Well, you know, I've noticed people, you know, making friendships. They're very, very concerned that you have the correct impression of them. And, you know, even though Le Marche and Abruzzo, I mean, they're right across from each other, but if you say, oh, you're Abruzzese. No, I'm Marchese. Okay.
That's the difference between the South and the North, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you chose the town here because you have some relatives there. Your cousin lives there. Is that why?
No, my cousin lives here. I first saw this town when I came here in 1997. And my grandfather used to always talk about Colonnella. He used to say, Bella Colonnella, Bella Colonnella. And I really didn't want to hear about Italy when I was, you know, a young adult. And so, we're in America. I don't want to hear about it. When I came around the bend and saw this town, it was like something out of a Disney movie. Just so beautiful sitting up on the hill. And the more I studied it, the more I just fell in love with it. You know, last year when I was here, I went to the museum, the archaeological museum, and in the 1990s, they discovered that this actually was the site of a Roman town, a Roman seaport. And from here is the salt road that goes across to Rome, and it hits Ascoli Piceno, which is another famous town. It's about 20 minutes from here. And so I just fell in love with this town. Colonnella is known for its steps. It has a series of steps that go through the town, and there are different landings where there's piazze, and there's restaurants and bars and things. And of course, because it's the highest town. And the history is that the people lived in the lower areas along the coast, but they kept getting attacked by pirates. And so they chose the highest hill in the area to put their town so that they could have fortification and protection. And so it's really, it's an ancient area. And Colonnella at one time extended from the Tronto River to the north all the way down to Giulianova, which is about, gosh, maybe 15, 20 minute drive from here. It has its own language, Colonnese. But, you know, over time, it has gotten eaten away and divided into smaller parts. At one time, it was ruled by the French. And so it has a very interesting history. Even the streets are called Rue here, R-U-E, which is, you know, back to the French. And some of the cooking is very French-like.
Interesting.
So you can see the influences of that in this area.
I'd love to see it someday. Someday, if I ever get back to Italy, I'm going to come and visit Colonnella. Was it difficult to purchase a house in Italy?
Yes.
A lot of red tape and hoops to jump through?
Well, it's very different from buying a house in the United States. It took some convincing just to be able to get an appointment to see the house. There's no such thing as a multi-listing, so each realtor has its own listings. You know, when you buy a house, you don't walk in with the agent and the house in show condition. You walk in with the agent. The agent introduces you to the family, and you meet the entire family, and they take you through their house. And you know how it is. You know, people have different tastes and colors, and there you are. You can't really react that much because the family's right there, and they're trying to sell you the house, you know. And the other thing about buying a house here is that there's no escrow to take you through. When we bought this house, we sent in an offer, you know, what we were going to pay, when the closing date was going to be, what was included in the sale.
And who are you sending that to?
I send that to the real estate agent. And I didn't have a real estate agent, so this is the agent for the seller. And you send that with, I think it was about 5,000 euros. So you send a check for 5,000 euros to the seller, not to the real estate agent, to the seller. And then if they accept it, then you have a compromesso, I believe it's called, And it's sort of like a preliminary contract. It's what we would call an agreement of sale. And when and you do that at the notary's office, and at that time you pay one third of the price directly to the seller, which as an attorney, I would never advise anyone to do that. But the rule is if I don't close on the date that we agreed, they get to keep my money. But if they don't close, they have to pay me three times back what I paid them.
Oh my goodness.
So now where they would get the money from, I don't know. But I also had to pay the real estate agent her commission when I paid the one third. I had to pay my percentage, which was half of the commission.
Now, are you doing this in checks or cash, or how are you doing this?
Well, I had to open an Italian bank account, and then I had to wire money to the Italian bank account. And then I wrote a check from that account. The first one I wired directly to the seller's account. Yeah, and opening a bank account was an interesting process as well. So anyway, then we came to the closing date and you inspect the property. There's no such thing as a title search. But you know, the thing is that everyone knows everyone else, and the whole concept of family honor is very important. And so that they would try to cheat me would be such a foreign concept. I mean, it would be off the charts, you know. But the problem was, when we got here, the seller had all this furniture that they wanted to sell us that we didn't want. And so I had to get a little forceful to get them to remove all this stuff. Oh, the other thing about buying a house in Italy is, you know, when you buy a house in the United States, we have something called fixtures, like your bathroom, shower, and your sink and your toilet come with the house. Well, that's not the case here. So you have to actually...
Not even the toilet, huh?
Nothing. They don't even take the light bulbs off. And so... So we had to write all that in the contract that I wanted all those things to stay here. And then fortunately they did. But that was a little peculiar to them. Like, well, why does he want that? Like the fact that you would want someone's kitchen or bathtub was strange to them.
So, and you're renting part of the house as a bed and breakfast, or that was your plan?
That's our plan. So our house is actually on two levels, and it encompasses five bedrooms and three bathrooms. And we also have two kitchens. So the first level, the ground level, basically two bedroom apartment. And then the upstairs, there's three more bedrooms and two more baths. So the plan is that, our goal actually is to, market this to Americans, because very few Americans come to Abruzzo and very few know anything about Abruzzo. And I love Abruzzo. So I want to share this part of the world, this part of Italy, to people. I call it the real Italy. And so we're planning to basically move within the residence. If somebody needs the entire place, we can move out. But if somebody wants to take the apartment, or like, we can go to different parts of the house. And my plan is to provide, you know, Italian style breakfast, give full information on how to get around, how to get here, depending on people's interests, what there is to see. And then at the end of the day, provide an aperitivo and have a chance to like share, like, well, what did you do today? You know?
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, at some point we started working on a website and then we stopped. But the plan of the house is to call it Cipana Nostra, which is our Cipana. And the reason why I chose that name is that's how my grandfather, who is from this area, when he immigrated, he was a tailor. And the clothing store where he worked, they called him our Cipana because he was such a faithful tailor. You know, a lot of times he would get these, you know, I need something done right away. And And he would always do it. And so they called him R. Chapana. And so that's why I want to use that name here to, you know, remember him. But also that this is, I am the Chapana of the guests. You know, it's, I want to introduce you to this area. I want you to be part of this, not just, and that's why I don't want to do Airbnb where people just come in and stay and go. I want to have the connection to the people who come here.
It sounds like a wonderful idea. I can't wait to visit. Is there anything else about your town or Abruzzo or Italy or your heritage you'd want to tell us?
Well, I think some of the unique foods of Abruzzo are important to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah, the most famous, of course, is arrosticini. Arrosticini is shish kebabs, basically, of lamb that are cut into tiny, tiny little pieces, and you order them by the number of arrosticini, what, 10 or 20, and you eat them in an interesting way where you hold on to the meat with your teeth and then you pull the shish kebab away. And that's a very famous thing. It comes from the shepherds. You know, the Abruzzese people were part of this movement that every year would take the sheep to Puglia and to winter and then bring them back in the spring. And so that's why a lot of the traditions from Puglia and Abruzzo have kind of mixed. The other interesting thing here is crespelle, which is a crepe. And the lasagna that's made here actually is called timbalo, and it's made with crepes instead of pasta. And if you go into the market, it's made with pasta. But if you come to Abruzzo, it's made with crepes.
Oh, that's interesting. How fun. Are there particular places you like to visit in Abruzzo or around Colonnella? You spoke of the Heritage Museum or the Archaeological Museum.
An Archaeological Museum, the best museum here is the Museum of the Abruzzese People, which is in Pescara. It's about 45 minutes away. I spent 3 full days at that museum. It's absolutely fascinating. They have headphones so you can listen and take a tour in English. It's not just Italian, which is rare here. So that definitely, if someone's interested in history, that would be a place I would definitely send them. In the mountains, you can go to a ski resort and you can take a gondola up to the very top. And then you can take a hike to Gran Sasso from there. Civitella del Tronto is a huge castle that was the point of protection from the Papal States. So this area was part of the Kingdom of the Two Sicilies. And so this was the border between the Kingdom of the Two Sicilies and the Papal States. Of course, Asti Piceno is a beautiful city. It's in the Marche and Abruzzo, but it's, you know, well worth a trip to go and see.
Especially those stuffed olives.
Yes, yes, those olives Ascolani, see. And in Abruzzo, Ortona, which is about an hour south here, was the site of a very famous battle during World War II. And basically, the fascists, that was their dividing line. They did not want the Allies to come further north than Ortona. So they put everything into combating that city. There are many cemeteries outside of that city, and the city itself has been very well preserved. You know, another interesting thing is Guardia Grele, and they're known for a special pastry that translates, I'm sorry to say, it's a little crass, but the translation literally is nun's tits.
I've heard of those.
The pastry is wonderful. It's this very light cake and then a custard filling. And then they brush it with powdered sugar. And when you eat it, you have to use a brush to brush off all the powdered sugar that goes on the clothing.
Aren't those in honor of one of the saints that suffered brutal disfigurations by her enemies?
Well, there's various stories about why that is created. One is that, which I think find hilarious, is that it was to they call it the the breasts of the nuns, because by having three, it would make it less attractive, which I don't understand. But others is that it's for the mountains, it's for the mountain peaks. But and it's, you know, it's a funny pastry, and everyone goes to that town just for that pastry. You know, there's many, many interesting parts. Sulmona is about an hour from here, which is where the candied almonds come from. And, you know, they're just, and so many castles. Also, I think they have them in Puglia, the, oh man, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the, but it's a type of fishing mechanism that they've turned into restaurants now. And it's just fascinating, the engineering and the into it. So there's so much to do here. My favorite thing in the summertime is that every town has its own little festival and revolves around different foods or traditions. And I'm hoping that they still do them this year with the coronavirus. I guess I'll find out.
Yeah. And you're close to the sea. So do you go to the beaches very often or?
Every day. Every day I go to the beaches, and we're very famous. Our beaches are blue flag beaches, which is the highest, cleanest quality of water. And they're very,
oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, they're very, very proud of the water quality. San Benedetto del Tronto, I forgot to tell you, is sort of like the Santa Barbara, beautiful seaport town with the wonderful lungo mare and the seafood. Yeah, that's another thing here along the coast. Seafood stews, each town has its own variation, and each one claims that theirs is the best.
It sounds great. Well, I'm really happy that you were able to join me today, Sam. It's been really interesting hearing about your town in Abruzzo. I like I said before, I can't wait to come. And anyway, so I think I'm going to say ciao, arrivederci, and thank you so much.
Always great chatting with you.
Well, that's it for this episode of Italy Inside Out. This podcast is sponsored by Travel in Italia, leading small group tours on the mainland and islands of Italy. You can find more information at www.travelinitalia.com. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe to this podcast. And until next time, arrivederci.